We're just 2 days away from the start of the filing period for this year's local elections, and more local residents are declaring their intentions to run. On Monday, we got a new candidate for Chapel Hill Town Council, restaurateur Elizabeth Sharp, who co-owns Bluebird and Hawthorne and Wood with her husband, Brandon. She's been in Chapel Hill since 2016, serving on the PTA and the school improvement team at Northside Elementary. She says her campaign will push back against current trends in development in Chapel Hill, which she says emphasize quantity over quality, direct quote, and detract from the existing community. Read more on Elizabeth Sharp's campaign announcement on our website, chapelboro.com. Meanwhile, on campus, fallout continues over last week's Supreme Court ruling striking down UNC's admissions policy and, by extension, the admissions policies of many other colleges and universities that took race into account when making their decisions. How have students and faculty members been reacting in Chapel Hill? 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has that story.
But I think that we probably could have seen this decision coming from a mile away.
Raina Patel is on the leadership team for the Affirmative Action Coalition at UNC. The group of students, which is predominantly Asian American and other non-white cultures, advocated for months to promote the benefits of racial considerations in admissions. But Patel said the Supreme Court's 6-3 conservative majority indicated it was not likely to be in their favor before the ruling was shared last Thursday.
Our coalition was certainly expecting something of the sort, but to hear it on the day of was still very, very disappointing and disheartening, and it certainly makes me question the future of admissions and diversity across college campuses in America.
Following the justices' opinions, the Affirmative Action Coalition shared a statement with similar sentiments. Co-signed by several other student groups, Patel and her peers wrote that they, quote, grieve the loss of such an important precedent. While she acknowledged the outcome and its vast ramifications, Patel added that she felt the coalition's efforts, from organizing on campus to demonstrating in Washington, D.C., were effective in spreading its message.
I think that having student voices chime in and say that affirmative action is something that is important to us is something that would have potentially been able to move the marker, and I'm still so proud of the work that myself and my team has done, and also other student voices, to be able to at least say what we wanted.
Additionally, pockets of the UNC faculty also spoke out, criticizing the decision. The Carolina Black Caucus shared a statement on social media saying it was, quote, deeply disheartened by the Supreme Court's ruling, and that it will continue to actively foster a diverse, inclusive campus in Chapel Hill.
For all those things where we fall short, I do believe that race must be used as a factor.
Deborah Stroman, a former chair of the caucus and currently an adjunct professor at UNC, said she believes the university's argument of including race as a component, but not the sole component, in student admission was strong. Stroman, who is also an equity coordinator for the Gillings School of Public Health, said her background studying history leads her to conclude systemic racism plays a role in the opportunities provided to non-white races. She likened oppression tactics like slavery and segregation as a handicap to Black Americans, adding that having their latest generations start at the same point as white Americans with no barriers is imbalanced. In the wake of the ruling in Students for Fair Admissions versus UNC, supporters of improving diversity on campus have filed new litigation against Harvard University to challenge the constitutionality of legacy admissions. Stroman said she agrees that such practices are also an example of systemic racism, based on Black and brown people not being allowed to attend those schools for decades.
Who can be a legacy of a Princeton? Who can be a legacy of Yale? Right? We can only go back maybe one generation, maybe two, not many, because it was only in what, the late 40s and 50s where the big Southern flagship institutions started admitting Blacks. And then we have to be mindful, it wasn't like they opened up the floodgates and said, okay, we're going to take in a class of 50 Black students. It was like two or three.
Stroman said she wishes that everyone who believes in racial diversity as beneficial treats the Supreme Court's ruling as a call to action. Patel shared similar thoughts, saying the Affirmative Action Coalition will be continuing its mission on UNC's campus to gather student support of diversity measures. Already, the organization has put together a form to send university leaders their thoughts on how overturning affirmative action will affect them, and why diversity should continue to be prioritized.
We see this decision as the beginning of a long fight. I'm sure that there's going to be plenty of other attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion on college campuses. And we have a lot planned for the next year and the next following months to be able to retain on-campus diversity in many other aspects, if not through college admissions.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
In Raleigh, Governor Roy Cooper is turning up the heat on Republican lawmakers who still have not passed a state budget nearly a full week into the new fiscal year. That delay is also delaying Medicaid expansion, which lawmakers approved earlier this year but made contingent on also passing a budget. On Monday, the governor called on lawmakers to separate Medicaid expansion from the budget process. No word whether Republicans will act on that, but Cooper says the delay will cause, quote, more work for counties, less money for hospitals, and people losing health care in the interim for no reason. Meanwhile, no more legal trouble for State House Speaker Tim Moore. Last month, a former Apex town council member filed an attention-grabbing lawsuit alleging Moore had destroyed his marriage by having an affair with his wife. On Monday, though, attorneys reported the lawsuit has now been resolved. No public details on how it was resolved, but Moore had consistently denied the allegation, saying the couple had already separated by the time the relationship began. Closer to home, Duke University's Nicholas Institute for Energy, Environment, and Sustainability recently teamed up with the Environmental Council of State for an annual roundtable with state-level environmental leaders in Washington, D.C. Ashley Ward of the Nicholas Institute was there, and she joined 97.9 The Hill last week to share some of her big takeaways.
So this year we were talking about microplastics and water and how states are dealing with that, and also a clean energy transition and some of the challenges around clean energy. What's wonderful about it is these are secretaries from all over the country, from states of across the ideological spectrum, right? And so we get these folks together at the table and we facilitate a conversation among them. So it's great to be there because I learn a lot, and it's also great to build relationships with them. But It really, I think they learn from each other, and it's really definitely very useful for them. But it gives me a look under the hood of what it's like to run a public agency and the challenges that seemingly easy policy solutions, can create. And so I really enjoy this every year, and it's something that I always walk away from having learned just a ton.
That's Ashley Ward speaking there. You can listen back to the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. And visit Chapelboro for more local news as well, including a feature piece from the UNC Media Hub about the future of commuter rail in the Triangle after the failure of the Durham Orange Light Rail line back in 2019. 6:19, your time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Bold Building. Less than 2 months out from the start of college football season, and Carolina will have a new-look roster when they hit the field against South Carolina on September 3rd. Among the changes will be a retooled secondary, including Georgia State transfer Antavius Stick-Lane at safety. You may remember that name because he forced two fumbles against Carolina when the Tar Heels took on Georgia State last year. Here's UNC head coach Mack Brown on how Lane wound up in Chapel Hill.
He forced two fumbles in our game. He had an interception, I think, the year before, and he was all over the field. So what you do is after you're reviewing the video, you don't sit there and say, Gus, we'd like to have him. That's what everybody says. Did I go speak to Stick after the game and say, hey, boy, you look good. We're losing a safety. We'd love to have you. No. But when he gets into the portal, I mean, we remember him in the game, and we kept talking about he's undersized, but man, the guy's all over the place and just played great. So yes, it does matter, and it's even better that we played against him because we had a full evaluation of him, and he's hungry. He was eating lunch the other day, and he'd just been through working out, and I said, how are you doing? He said, God, I love it, man. I love it. So that's one of the things about bringing guys from Group of Five or from FCS, because they have more advantages here than they would have in their programs, and they really like it. and they're happy to be here.
That's Mac Brown speaking there. In baseball, the Durham Bulls got a dramatic win last night to celebrate the 4th of July, down 5-0 with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. The Bulls roared back with six runs, capped off by Oslavis Basabe's three-run double to beat the Norfolk Tides 6-5. That series in the DBAP continues tonight at 6:30. Elsewhere, the NBA Summer League gets underway next week with several former Tar Heels competing. Just out of college, Leaky Black will play with the Hornets and Pete Nance will be with the Cavaliers. Also back for a second year are Brady Manick and Garrison Brooks. Tar Heel Tribune reporting Manick will play with Atlanta and Brooks will be with New Orleans. Visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more sports news, including the new jersey numbers for all of UNC's incoming women's basketball players.